No cap. Recap. I wish I was in the back so I could hit the horn. Did you get rid of my horn, Ref? You did get rid of my horn, I think.
I think so. No, I think I might have the horn. I think I might still have the horn.
You might still have the horn?
Yeah, I got to check.
Let's check and make sure that we're coming through all right. I'll make sure we got audio before we get too far around. Let's see. All right. Bear with us. We haven't had a show in a minute.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's check this. Turn the volume up real quick there. Check, check. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Y'all know what I do.
See what happens when he's been gone?
I get indignant.
Yeah, you good.
Why is mine not playing?
It don't even matter, Red. Don't even worry about it.
All right.
So, you know, let's catch everyone up. You know, oh, we got the chat. Rob says, good afternoon, gentlemen. Looking and sounding good. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate you. So, Rob, what's happening? We haven't seen you in a while. We haven't had a show in a few weeks.
Yes. I've been out on sabbatical. Let's just leave it at that. I'm back.
Okay. I'll take it. So, are you R&R, rest, restored, rejuvenated?
I'm here. That's what, you know, yeah. Yesterday's gone. I'm here today.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And tomorrow's not guaranteed. So let's, you know, yeah, we're going to be in the moment.
All right.
Enjoy that.
So for all of you that have not seen this show before, this is the No Cap Recap. And what that means is the Rev has his service on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. here at New Horizon Ministries, 4040 Wheaton Way, Suite 203. All are welcome. Bus service runs on Saturday, so you can come. And after he has his sermon, we will recap his sermon. Now, I come from it, from the secular side, right? Because this is for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic, atheist, agnostic. It doesn't matter. I look at the Bible as, I have some duality in it, right? I look at it as the holy book, but I also look at it as a resource that people can use to improve on their professional or personal life.
Amen.
And so that's how I look at it. So it's kind of it's a way for us to establish a dialogue and hopefully help other folks that are out there. And you know, in full disclosure, it actually also helps me. So
me as well,
because I consider myself a lifelong learner. So I always take an opportunity to learn something new, and so that's important to me.
Amen.
So you want to get into the.
Yeah. So I'm going to say one more thing about the show.
Sure.
So, yeah, we recap what I preach. But the other party is the no cap, where we keep it 100 about what I preached, you know, and digging deeper into that and its meaning and so forth. So, you know, and that's a big part because we talk about that a lot. You know, just integrity and honesty and intellectual honesty. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, intellectual honesty.
Intellectual honesty. So I tend to, you know, say things that in my mind everybody already know. And so he keeps me intellectually honest and understanding that, you know, people, you know, my forehead is not made out of glass. So.
Well, I think it's important to state what is intellectual honesty. So if you're having a conversation or a debate or even an argument with someone, sometimes they're hanging on your words. They're listening to respond or to catch you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so they know that you intended something else, but they're going to call you on that thing because, oh, well, you said it wrong, or this is how you said it, or this is how you meant it, when that really wasn't how you meant it or this is how you intended it to come across, right? So if we're building trust with each other, if I say something that seems kind of off, you got to look at the person and say, did they intend for it to be that way? Well, probably not, because I know Marwan. Probably not, because I know the Rev. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you ask for clarification. But if you operate on that paradigm, then you're less likely to have miscommunication, right?
Amen.
And you're going to be able to get to where it is you want to be. So how we do it is I'll read the verse or verses that the Rev preached from. on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And sorry, there was no no cap recap Saturday because of Doc Loves the Kids and
busy week.
Marvin Williams was in town Summit 360. And then also New Day Ministries had their ribbon cutting. So we were all over the place on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I have to cover those community events. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, the cap, the no cap recap is right after service at 1:15. So you can come on down, listen to the word. We have a little bit of time in between to kind of, you know, talk and socialize. And then we do the show, which is open, right, for discussion and dialogue. So
so that means it's open to everyone, you know, so it's not just me and him conversating. You know, the audience is encouraged to participate with their questions and their you know, whatever their takeaway was, you know. So
sure. All right, so let me go ahead and read this verse. All right, and it is scrolling at the bottom there. Romans 12:1, living sacrifices to God. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Why are you looking over my shoulder like, what am I reading?
What?
The New King James Version.
You forgot a word.
Where? It looks like a number one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen. Amen.
So, Rev, you preach from Romans 12:1.
Yes.
What was your intent there?
So, in this, our focus was the being a living sacrifice, and you know what that looks like, what that entails. And, you know, it was, you know, kind of, in some ways it was, you know, twofold. It's what that meant and what it looked like, as a Christian, what it means to be, you know, a living sacrifice for God. And that was his main, intent to get that across. What does that mean to be a living sacrifice for God? And in addressing that, of course, we talked about the way many of us sacrifice in other areas of our lives in order to be successful. And I didn't go in as great a depth into that. I just used it kind of as a, you know, a springboard, a background to the main message of being a living sacrifice for God.
All right. You know, some of the things that I thought was important was maybe having a definition of sacrifice.
Yeah, so let's go over that. That was part of the message. This particular message, you guys, I actually handwrote. I didn't type it out or whatever. I may get it translated and uploaded onto the website. But
what, to Aramaic? Like, I might get it translated.
Not translated. You know what I mean. See, be intellectually honest. We just talked about that.
I can
don't
help
trip
it.
Me this up. Is, don't trip me up on my words.
Like, I might have it translated. It's like, okay.
Don't be embarrassing me in front of the company, man. Come on, man.
I'm sorry.
Y'all see how he be doing me?
I couldn't help it.
I'll be beating up on me. All right, definitions. All right, so we gave four definitions for the word sacrifice. And our main, we focused on the last two, but number one, sacrifice, to sacrifice is meaning an offering to a deity, to God. Something precious, to offer something precious to a deity or offer something precious to God. The second way sacrifice can be defined as anything consecrated that is offered to God or a deity. The third way sacrifice can be defined is the destruction And again, this third and fourth is what we use for our sermon. The destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. The destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else, i.e. the way Jesus surrendered himself to the cross for our sake, for your sake, for us. The fourth definition for sacrifice, the loss of profit or grievous loss incurred in selling under unfavorable conditions. So the way some of us may, you know, kind of feel like, you know, I work, 80 hard hours and, you know, I got to sacrifice a huge chunk of that pay to Uncle Sam at the end. No, let me stop. Okay. So that's sacrifice. I'm just saying.
So you talked about the last two verses.
Yeah.
And those were scrolling as you read those off.
Last two.
So you want to go into the context of the sermon
In
regards to those last two definitions there?
Let me just give a brief overview of the whole thing, and then we can
Remember the cap, no recap.
I'm not gonna preach the whole sermon again, and you guys are free to go on to our Facebook page and watch the sermon. That's the only place it was this week. We'll get that fixed later. Anyway, again, we talked about sacrifice and, you know, just the importance of it. Some of the key things, most of the time Christians tend to think in terms of that fourth definition. Many people tend to think in the terms of that fourth definition when it comes to sacrifice towards, the religious or biblical, in the biblical sense. However, one of the things that I wanted to touch on was that sacrifice doesn't always equate to suffering. You know, it's not always about a loss, you know, and, you know, so we don't always have to have this negative connotation about sacrifice. We tend to look at sacrifice and think about sacrifice in other areas of our lives with no hesitation and no problems, you know. I.e., if you're playing sports, you gotta, you know, kind of sometimes sacrifice even your physical well-being. You know, the football player that'll throw himself at another, you know, player or in the air to catch a ball. You know, the student who will, you know, trying to keep and maintain that 4.0 will forego certain social engagements in order to study or whatever. You know, the business owner who's trying to open up another location and, you know, go and bring his business to the level of a franchisee. You know, in marriages, we have to sacrifice. As members of families, we have to sacrifice. There's a lot of different areas in which we already make sacrifices willingly and without hesitation to be successful. And that's what Paul was alluding to in this particular verse was about the necessity of the Christian sacrificing to be successful in our service to the master. There's six key points that I touched on. One was the living sacrifice is because that's our main focus, being a living sacrifice. So first, the living sacrifice is a sacrifice that is alive. Second, the living sacrifice is to be a holy sacrifice. The living sacrifice is a complete sacrifice. The living sacrifice is a voluntary sacrifice. And the living sacrifice is a joyful sacrifice. Is a joyful sacrifice. And the last one, number six, was the living sacrifice is a satisfying sacrifice. The conclusion that I came to was that, one, God has given his son to save us from our sins, you know, and that's that reasonable service. You know, the only thing that he asks for us in return is for us to give up those things in our lives that would cause us ruin and destruction anyway, which would send us to hell and, you know what I'm saying, you know, just like kind of send us on a bad path through life. You know, so he's not asking, you know, to change us in asking us to be a sacrifice from who we are. He's just asking us to surrender or give up or destroy, you know, the negative and bad things in our life, you know. You know, and God approaches us on the basis of his grace and mercy so that he can give us the richest gifts that anybody can experience. You know, and the last bit of the conclusion was that if we would just willingly become a living sacrifice, if we would just willingly give to God that place which rightfully belongs to him, then we can begin to know what it really means and how it truly feels to live life on the highest plane and in its richest quality. And so sacrifice brings about the better things, you know. So that's kind of the sermon in a nutshell.
All right. I appreciate that.
Amen.
Now, as I always say, one, I love, you know, these conversations that we have. And as you know, for me, I'm always looking for teachable moments, right? Amen. And so while I like to try to help other people, I'm also looking to help myself. How can I continuously improve?
Yes, yes.
And so those last two definitions of sacrifice, the loss, the example of goods, as an example, the loss of goods sold at a sacrifice, maybe you're selling your goods or your service at a discount so you can get more business, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what I love about this is, and your cousin, is that your cousin, your nephew who was in here earlier?
My cousin, yeah.
All right, shout out to your cousin. We were having a discussion about what really came down to a pedagogy, if you will, in a style or manner in which you are going to teach other people.
So let me, break that pedagogy down.
I just gave the definition.
Yeah, well, say that this is the definition. Not everybody got a master's degree. What's a pedagogy?
I just said a methodology of how you teach, right?
Uh-huh. What does that mean?
How you teach. What's your teaching style?
Oh, okay.
You know, how you're going to go about the work of teaching, if you will.
I'm just playing the devil's advocate.
I know he is. But so some people want to teach by only focusing on the positive. Some people will teach by pointing out the negative. And some people may teach by, you know, using both. And if you look at the Bible, I believe, is both, right? It's a historical text that is taught in parables that you can apply to your life. And it fits for every circumstance.
So, interestingly, that's good because the sermon, I used the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus taught, you know, about, you know, well, yeah, people know the story of the Good Samaritan, but I used that parable in the sermon, yeah.
So my thought on that is sacrifice doesn't have to be a negative thing. And that was part of our discussion. Mm-hmm. And the teaching style of focusing on where you're going and focusing on the future, focusing on the positive versus talking about, look at where my situation is now. You know, I had come this long way, but now I find myself here again, or I'm worse off than I was at another state. I should be here at this point in time. And you can use that. And that works for some people. Mm-hmm. But sometimes folks can get caught up in what is currently and not focus on the future. And I think that was the point that the cousin was making. And that is important. And so for some people, they can get caught up in that quagmire of negative self-talk, right?
Yeah.
Analysis
yeah.
paralysis.
Yeah.
And so when I think of sacrifice, it doesn't have to be a negative thing. It doesn't have to be this zero-sum thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give up smoking because it's bad for me, or it's causing issues. I'm going to stop smoking because my health is going to improve. I'm going to be able to breathe easier. I'm going to be able to participate in the lives of my children or my grandchildren.
So I don't really see that as a sacrifice, but I get what you're saying. But well,
let
you
me
know.
Finish.
Okay, go
you
ahead.
Just cut me off right in the middle.
Well, go ahead.
But, so a lot of people do look at it like that, right?
Okay.
So I want to go to school and get this education. Mm-hmm. And I've told this story 1,000 times, right? But that means I can't go to the party. I can't hang out with everyone else because I have to go home and study.
Oh, you're talking about smoking.
Well, could be cigarettes too, right? For a lot of people, cigarettes are like, you know, I gotta have a cigarette when I get stressed out. I gotta have a cigarette when I wake up in the morning. I gotta have one after I eat. I constantly have to have a cigarette.
I'm a chain smoker, so I can't sit in class.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on in, Sean.
Yeah.
How you doing? Come on in. So, for me, sacrifice doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. It can very much be a positive thing. Yeah. And so you look at it as you are making a choice or a decision, right? Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have to be a thing that you're giving away. You can look at it as to what are you going to gain? Why are you stopping this behavior or this action or these thoughts? What are you going to get on the other side of it? And typically, when we make the sacrifice, whether it's for salvation, which is your side of the house, or if it's because I want a better job, I need some education, I need to get physically healthy or mentally healthy, the other side of that, then all of a sudden, not really a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's how you look at things can empower you to be more successful.
Yeah. And again, in the sermon, you know, I definitely, you know, kind of was hitting on that. One of the key points that I was making was that, and I think I just said that sacrifice doesn't equal suffering. You know, it doesn't have to equal suffering, you know, and we don't have to approach a sacrifice in the mindset of, oh, this is going to, you know, cause me suffering and grief and, you know, I'm losing out or whatever else. You know, if we have that mindset of I'm giving up to gain, you know.
Well, like you said, are you really giving up?
Yeah, exactly. Like
you're putting you know, flipping it on
its my co-pastor, my spiritual parents, she would always say, you know, you can't put nothing in a closed hand, you know. And so, like, if you're clenching onto that $5 bill, ain't nobody gonna be able to put $100 in there, you know, or $1,000 if you, you know, like, I got this $5. And they like, okay, well, give me the $5. I got something more for you. You got to let it go, you know, you got to give up sometimes and sacrifice to, you know, in order to gain, you know, and you know, it can be sometimes sacrifice can be counterintuitive, you know, to, you know, our natural instincts or inclinations. But again, it's mindset, you know, it's where are you coming from with what. You know, where are you coming from mentally in approaching the situation?
Let me ask. Sean, you're here. Sean's been on the conduit before. So our conversation today is around sacrifice and what does sacrifice mean. The no cap recap. Rev has his service on Saturdays and then I come from the worldly or the secular side of it. So it's where Christianity and the world meets, right? So for me, what I was telling the audience earlier, I look at the Bible as a resource, right? And so as any text, whether it's a calculus textbook or a history textbook, we can use these things to make improvements on our life. And we can pull away the religious aspects of it and just use it to improve our lives. And so
or you can keep the religious aspects of it and still
again,
help it to use.
We're talking about this side of the house. That's all.
I'm talking about my side of the house.
but the point of it is we're so siloed off and divisive, right? In this day and time, you know, are you a Christian? Are you a Catholic? Are you a Muslim? Are you an atheist? Are you agnostic? Mm-hmm. Where can we meet in the middle and create dialogue in all things where we can all benefit? So, if you don't mind, what does sacrifice mean to you?
Yeah, come on, drag a chair around. Come on. I ain't gonna be able to hear you back there. And come here, doggy. Doggy, you guys, he has a bark that's bigger than his bite. And he just likes to, you know, say hi to everybody. So that's what y'all heard barking. Say hi.
Hi, cutie.
You want to give him the mic, Rev? I'll explain it with you. Yeah.
So what does sacrifice mean to me? What's the context? Is it like, what are we talking about?
Well, we just defined sacrifice as a loss. You know, for example, loss of goods or... what is number three?
So number three, the first one was the destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. Mm-hmm. Second way we're using it is the loss of profit or grievous loss incurred in selling under unfavorable conditions.
And that's just the Webster's Dictionary of it. But our conversation of sacrifice is really what does it mean to you and how can you use that or how to use that in your personal life to achieve personal or professional group dynamic goals, things like that.
Yeah, this is where the rubber hits the road, right?
It is.
We talked about a little bit on Thursday, a big theme for the IWW is solidarity. And our motto for that, we should have talked about it, is an injury to one is an injury to all. Mm. And so we try and drive that in to our membership to incorporate that wholesale. So when you see, you know, that's a message of sacrifice, right? For me, it's a message of sacrifice. And for me, it means if I have a coworker in need, I need to put my immediate needs to the side for the greater good to help them out because her injury is my injury. And in that regard, you know, I can show compassion, I can listen better, and I can be prepared to help them out for whatever their ask is. I think in another way I think about sacrifice too is like drugs and alcohol. Like if you're running your life through drugs and alcohol, you're sacrificing your best self for a substance. And you know, I think that's a bad trade-off, you know, like a short-term gain for whatever that substance is giving you for your long-term health. So those are the two ways I've been thinking about it a lot lately.
You know, that's why it's so powerful to have many voices at the table. Because you flipped it the other way, right? You said, hey, sometimes you're sacrificing a better life. You're sacrificing peace for, you know, the short term whatever, right? I appreciate that.
I do too, and I wish I'd maybe talk with you on this before I preached it, because I really like that. Like, that's just another way, you know. And like I said, sometimes we're not even, you know, kind of looking at it in terms of sacrifice. But you're right. Like, we can sometimes sacrifice the good in our lives, you know, for negative things, you know. And like, yeah, you know, that's a huge one. Like, yeah, you know, alcohol and drugs, you know, in abusive, used in abusive ways. That can be very detrimental, and that's a sacrifice. You're right. You're sacrificing, you know, the best part of you for, you know, like substance. Like, yeah. That's horrible. But you know what? And I can also, you just opened my brain up. Like, I can see that, like, in relationships, you know, in a relationship type way as well, like where, you know, you're making those sacrifices and you know, or whatever, and like the relationship is toxic, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's not good, and so it doesn't behoove you. You know, anything that doesn't behoove you, you know, I guess, like, yeah, you're giving up the best. Like, but okay, I'm gonna stop ranting. But good one, bro. Thank you. No, you know, thank you.
What I would add to that is I don't think the examples need to be that stark. You know, I mean, it's good because you got to have a framework so that you can even start to conceptualize how that may be manifesting in your life, right? What are the good things that you are, what are the bad behaviors or negative self-talk or negative thoughts that you were sacrificing for a better situation, right? What's keeping you stuck in your life that you're not willing to, or maybe you're not even cognizant of the fact that you are sacrificing this? So this can give some context on really taking inventory of what's going on in your life. You know typically what you want different in your life, but what is it right now that you're prioritizing more in your life that's getting in the way, right? Yeah. For me, it's taking time out to prepare healthier foods, you know, not eating so many box foods, right? Saying, hey, I'm too busy. I've got all these obligations and, you know, I'm being pulled in 1,000 different directions. So, you know, I'm going to eat that box food. I'm going to nuke something in the microwave instead of doing some food prep on a Sunday or whatever the case may be. And so I'm sacrificing my health. I'm sacrificing my energy because I'm eating a bunch of carbs versus fruits and vegetables. And so I'm really living counter to, you know, me being the best me that I can be. So what would I need to do? What am I willing to sacrifice to do that or prioritize? Because I could take it from that and start to change that mindset and say, is it really a sacrifice to say I'm going to take some time out? Are you going to, am I really going to, is it really a sacrifice to take time out to do some food prep when on the other side of that, I'm going to feel better, I'm going to have more energy, I'm going to be more productive, and I'll actually be able to take more time out? So these are inventories that I can take in my own life. You know, we were walking. Well, mostly me. You started to join me there right before it got hot. What? Yeah, I'm going to call you out.
It is what it is. Look, you know me. I have very little shame about things, and I can accept the truth of life. And, you know, I was not completely faithful in our walking scheme. And, you know... yeah. So
yeah, well,
I did not sacrifice the way that I should have. So yeah. And that's negative on me because I really want to get rid of not so much the weight because I'm okay with my size. It's my shape, you know, like I'm carrying a lot of belly fat, so I wanna like slim that down and you know.
Yeah, just be, fried chicken and I pasta be, good. It's
you
okay.
know what? But I in that aspect, like, okay, so in the physical part, I haven't been sacrificing the way I should. In the food intake part, I have been doing a lot better. I've really cut down on burgers. I had a burger, like, a couple of days ago from McDonald's, and, like, I can't remember, like, from past that, like, when the last time I had... had a, you know, ordered a burger from a restaurant or whatever.
Talk about so, how like, you've been feeling from making the change in your diet.
Actually, well, I feel better. I have more energy. I don't feel as bloated all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, actually, I am seeing some decrease in my waist. You know, my pants are, you know, fitting a lot looser, and I'm having to put on a belt, which is, you know, like, I ain't got a problem with that.
So I'm not a plumber's butt, there's preacher's butt.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm not one of these saggers, you know. I like to keep the color of my underwear private. That's just between me and God, you know, and my wife. So, but like, yeah, I'm feeling better on that. And, you know, I do still intend on incorporating the health physical part into it, and that's something we were talking about earlier, like just kind of, you know, I had to take stock and evaluation of how I was doing things and how I was living and just the amount of time that it was consuming, and, you know, just like at the end of the day, just being not so much physically, but just mentally, just like, and I don't want to do anything else. Where like I'm changing that up. I'm finna. We're gonna have a new schedule. I might only be in. I'm thinking might only 1 or 2 days that I might be in the office.
Well, don't roll it out till it's time. But
I said might, maybe.
Here's what I want you to tell folks.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Oftentimes we look at. If we're looking outside at someone else, mm-hmm. we see what their struggle is, and then all of a sudden we may see the finished product. But we don't understand what got them on that path to where it was sustainable. So can you just reflect a little bit on when you started changing what it was that you were eating and consuming, what was that catalyst, and how did you build on that success day in and day out and not going to Popeyes or KFC or making different choices to where now it's a habit. Can you reflect
on that? And I'll be just kind of real.
And I'm going to ask you that too.
Yeah. I'll be kind of frank and real honest. For myself, I am just, I have a very strong mental will. And so, like, if I want to do something, it's just like, that's what I'm going to do. Like, and I really, yeah. Like, so I determined.
Well, let me push back on that. Because if you have the strong mental will, why weren't you doing it earlier?
Because I wasn't ready to. Like, let's, and that's what I said, I'm going to be honest. Like, so, like, I wasn't ready to. I didn't want to at that point. So, like, I can get in a point where, like, it's like, okay, I want to do something, and I intend to do it, but I'm not at a point where I'm ready and wanting to do it. Like, I'm kind of enjoying, you know, where I'm at right now.
So
you know,
no and cap recap.
Yeah.
You're ready to put the work in.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So, okay. Like, if I'm not... If I'm not 100% there yet, like, I'm not going to, you know, like, fake it and force it because it's not going to be successful. You know what I'm saying? And I realize that about myself.
So are you saying to people that they should just keep doing crack until they're ready 100% to stop?
No. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is the truth is most people that go into rehab and they're not, you know, honest with themselves and at a point where they're ready to give up, they usually relapse. And until you have a made-up mind and say, like, yeah, this is what I want for myself, you're most often not successful in, you know, making those changes, you know, because often you're making those changes based off of someone else's desire for your well-being or your success in a certain particular
area. So what you're saying is you got to want it for yourself.
You do. So now, can I get back to what I was
saying? Hold on, one more thing. Because what I would tell folks here's the thing. Because I want to be clear.
No. Go ahead. I'm just
serious.
I'm just messing with you.
Is, you know, I would tell people if, because I use the example of crack, which is serious, mm-hmm. right?
It is.
That even if you're not 100%, that you should still try.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I said. That's the clarity that I'm making there.
Yeah, and that's what I said. It's,
Sean, you want to jump in there?
Hold on.
Well, there's three of us here.
Yeah,
so
but can I finish giving my answer?
No. Go ahead. I'm just messing with you.
Cut me off like 50 times, ask me a question, and then going to re-ask it, and then tell me I can't finish with the first one.
Because you've gone for so long, Rev.
I'm a preacher, bro. Like... Yeah, you get that? Wait, I'm going to preach it. Anyway, I'm not going to go for so long.
Don't hit the player, hit the game.
Exactly.
Wow, et tu, Brute? Yeah,
you asked. Anyway, here's the thing. You know what? All right, Sean, you go. I forgot what the question. What was the question?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Sean, it'll kick in with Sean.
Anyway.
We're talking about like how you change your habits and change how you're sacrificing for stuff.
So here's the thing with me. And like... When I finally gave up smoking, right? I stopped smoking several times, but when I finally quit smoking, I stopped smoking several times, but when I finally quit smoking, it was because I wanted to stop. You know, I had a conversation with my doctor and I told her, you know, she was like, oh, you know, smoking's not good for you, especially considering, you know, your particular health issues. It's really, really not good for you. My rebuttal to the doctor was like, yeah, I understand that, but I enjoy smoking. So I'm going to continue to smoke. And I did, you know, and when I got ready to stop smoking, I stopped smoking. And that's the thing, like, you know, and even in the crack context, like, yeah, you should attempt to stop it as many times as it take until you finally, you know, understand that, like, yeah, this is what you need to do is quit. But I have, like, in other areas, I have, like, a strong mental, like, fortitude where, like, if I don't, if I'm not 100%, you know what I'm saying, into something, like, I can make an attempt and do something, but unless, like, I decide for myself, like, this is what I want, then I'm usually not, you know, successful in it. And I think that is true for most people when they're really honest with themselves. Until they are 100% bought in, they're, you know, true success, you know, and overcoming doesn't come until they reach that made up point in their mind. Like, yeah, this is what's gonna be, you know. So, That was what I was getting at. I'll turn it over to Sean now because I talk so much.
Well, I'm just looking at the clock tick by.
Yeah.
And you both said it. It takes honesty, right? Change takes honesty. For me, I can talk about something that was hard to be honest about and hard to change was alcohol in my life. Alcohol is a very destructive presence in my life, and I wanted to stop it, and I wanted to stop drinking, but I wasn't admitting to myself the truth of how destructive it was. And so when I hit that truth, the want and the truth lined up, and I was willing to seek out help and get advice. And the advice that I got was it's all just about habit changing. Mm-hmm. I had to change a lot of the people I was hanging out with who were pushing me to drink, the culture of drinking. Stop going, literally change my route home on the drive or the walk home so I wasn't going near bars. When you go into the grocery store and avoiding the liquor aisle, making sure I'm eating three meals a day, making sure checking in with people, things like that, changing that habit. And it took 3-4 years before I finally just got it completely out of my life. But
yeah.
It didn't start until I was honest and I wanted it.
Yeah.
And it still took time because it's these things are powerful sometimes and it's hard to stop and you can fall back into it.
Yeah.
How did you give yourself grace? Because you said it took 3 or 4 years. So when you started drinking again, how did you give yourself grace to not say, forget this, man, I can't do it, I'm just going to just keep drinking?
Yeah, well, it's common. I started drinking again and then convinced myself that I was okay this time. Mm-hmm. I got this time. I've done sobriety. I can handle this. So it took a few relapses to then where I was starting to be giving myself the grace. I relapsed a few times. Met some people who were this is just the name of the game. It's a long-term fight, and if you go one day without, if you were drinking every day for 3 years and you make it one day, that's a win.
Mm.
And if you, in the flip, if you go 5 years, if you were a heavy drinker and you go 5-10 years and then something comes around and you have a drink, that's just, shit happens. So, sorry. relapses like that happen, and I learned the grace by screwing up a few times and learning just to be this is just part of the process. This is just it.
So I want to say something to what you're saying, because I can relate with that now with the alcohol, but I've been in my current relationship. I'm married to my wife. We got 4 kids. We met when we were kids, when we were 18. I went through a long time in that relationship where I was being unfaithful. I would go through periods of infidelity in that relationship, and it wasn't until what you're saying, one, being honest with myself that this isn't good, for me, for the relationship, for my family, for anybody, this is really just not good, and having that line up with wanting to stop it, you know? I really understand that, but it's on a different situation, but I get that. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, you're breaking a bad habit. It's all kind of
the and it same. Wasn't overnight either.
No.
Yeah.
Two things. One, I just want to thank you both for being that vulnerable. Those are very personal revelations to share with the audience in that way. What I wanted to ask you, Rev, is how is your marriage now? Because you do openly talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. And is it an open wound for your wife when you continue to talk about it? Have you guys healed and you moved past it, or does every time she hear you talk about it, it's like a dagger?
That's a good question. You know what?
Should we call her?
Yeah, she's at work, so go ahead and call her. But no, seriously, that's a good.
That's a different show.
Yeah, that's a good question that I actually need to have with her, because I've never even asked her. It's just look, I look at it as telling on myself. Look, I was out there being stupid. I messed up, because for so long, it was a thing that was, you know, in the shadows and creeping around and hiding and, you know, like, ah, I don't want nobody to find out and, you know, hush, hush. And, you know, because it's infidelity, you know what I'm saying? And so now it's like, yeah, you know, I was stupid, you know, which I was, you know. And so when I'm saying it, I'm hoping that, you know, there's somebody out there that's possibly going through that, that's realizing like, yeah, you know, I'm feeling that way, and or I've been doing that, and like, yeah, I can get past that. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, and praying that like there's, you know, in my telling on me that somebody else can, you know, move past their infidelity. And I never considered to ask her like, hey, you know, is it okay if I tell this story? But it's part of my testimony that, you know, this is one of the things, this infidelity is what really brought me into my walk with Christ. So, like, I can't help but share it, you know?
Well, and I guess what I wanted to just kind of continue to elaborate, while it's cathartic for you, and you're also helping people, and that's what brought you to God, which is all very powerful things, is it at her expense?
I know.
You know what I mean? So it's just interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah. Maybe that's not something you come back and share. She gets a feeling, but.
Well, love, I do apologize if this has been at your expense.
And that would be a sacrifice for her because she hasn't mentioned it to this point because you don't know, right? So she is sacrificing how she's feeling about it and holding that in, so that you can strengthen your walk with God and help other people.
Yeah, and I'm sacrificing by exposing, you know, a flaw in you know, a previous flaw in my character, and you know, on it. But again, like I said, I don't have much shame about most things these days. I realize that, you know, I'm trying to please Him, and you know, when that's my goal and my focus is to please God. So I've lost a lot of shame.
Well, again, I appreciate you guys being so forthright in your sacrifices. Let's kind of switch again and maybe pull to something that's not so huge. Something a little smaller.
See, we came out with a big
house. Yeah.
Well, I cheated on my wife when I was a kid. What's your problem?
Hey, doggy, it's your turn.
Yeah.
What are some? I would like to give some. Yeah, Brandon says that's deep. That is deep, right?
Yeah, he ate my piece of chicken. That's doggy's tail.
And that's why it is powerful. And I think, you know, the way society is set up now, we're doing a better job, but there's a lot of stigma around men seeking mental health. We're just supposed to swallow it and man up, and we suffer in silence. And, you know, suicide rates and all those things are very serious in men. And if we're all thinking, oh, we're just supposed to buck up and take it, you're not going through anything because you never share it. You're not going through, so I better not share it, right? I gotta show that I'm tough and everything else. Being vulnerable, I think, is very powerful and helpful for other folks to feel like they're not alone, that other people are going through things, and they're going through some big-ass things. You know, these are huge, huge issues, and there is an other side to it. There is a peace. There is a serenity of overcoming these things, and you, too, can also do that when you're ready to try it. And understand that grace is important to give yourself because it might not take the first time, but continue to try. And as Sean was saying, right, changing your friends, right? I talked about that when I started, you know, at Olympic College, right? I had to stop spending as much time with my brother and his friends because they were drinking and playing video games and, you know, hanging out with the girls and barbecuing. And I needed to read textbooks. I needed to write papers. I needed to study. And it took a while. It wasn't immediate that I just stopped. But what I found was, for a little while, I lived in both worlds, right? Mm-hmm. I'd go to class. I'd finish the work before they woke up and started taking their showers because they're not getting up till 1 or 2 in the afternoon, right? And that's not what I wanted. And so it didn't – as I kept moving forward, the less and less it seemed like a sacrifice because I was moving into the life that I wanted to have, right? So I was putting away those things, and I was watching that success. And I try to remind people all the time when they're on their journey that may take years to stop and look back at all the footprints in the sand of all the progress that you've made. You know, oftentimes we get so caught up in the fact that we're not there yet. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, I'm not there yet. But man, I'm a whole hell of a lot further down this road than I was before. And that's reinvigorating, right? It's like, yeah, you know what? I have done a damn good job. I have come a long way. Mm-hmm. I'm not all the way there yet. But man, I just got my second win. Let's push on, right? And what else can I add in my life? You talked about... hey, you know what? I changed my diet, and that's feeling pretty good. I wanted to exercise, but I couldn't really do both things at the same time. You don't have to do it all at the same time. Make those implementations slowly. All right, I got this beat now. This is now a positive habit that I have in my life. Okay, now I'm ready to try to add in some walking or whatever form of exercise there is. You know, setting my watch to stand every, you know, 59 minutes or whatever the case may be, walking around the house or walking around the church.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
So, and he says I talk a lot. Anyways.
I got a guide to discuss
it. Anyways. There he goes. No, that's something I was saying earlier to my cousin. You know, the thing is, well, two things I want to point out in what you were saying. You said that it didn't seem as much like a sacrifice, even though it still is a sacrifice, you know, and it may not seem as much. And that's the whole thing of getting to that point of realizing and recognizing that a sacrifice does not equate to suffering. And so when you put the two words together, you got to put that equal with the slash through it. I don't know the name of that.
Not equal?
Yeah, not equal sign. Yeah,
there might be a specific math term for it.
Yeah,
And so it's not equal, you know. So like, yeah, just do it, right? And then two, understand, like he was, you're just mentioning about, you know, the healthy thing. The whole thing with the eating and the walking was to, you know, improve my health and, you know, get myself to a body shape that, you know, makes me because I am comfortable with how I look. I ain't got no shame with my belly. Anyway, but it's to get me to a place that I desire to be. And the thing I was telling my cousin was earlier, we were talking about something in this line, but, you know, I'm doing it. You know, it's not that I'm going to do it. When you decide to take a journey or go on to a journey, as soon as you take that first step, you're now doing the journey. And so even though I'm not at the physical exercise part because I am, you know, and even though I'm not 100%, you know what I'm saying, with the eating part, I recognize that I'm still doing the journey. I've made and I'm sticking to changes in my diet, you know. And yeah, it's not all at once because I wouldn't be, I don't think I would be successful in that, you know, being honest with myself. But incrementally, you know, I can, you know, begin to weed out, you know, bad things and replace them with more positive things. And so that'll just be another step in the journey. And so once you take that very first step, recognize that you are doing the journey. You are doing the thing that you desire to do. And it's just that you have not made it to the end of that journey. And I think a lot of times we think in terms of like, oh, I'm not successful until I made it to the end of the journey. But no, you're successful once you begin the journey.
You know, as we wrap up, one thing that I want to add that I think is really important is do not try to keep up with the Joneses, right? Mm. Your progress and your success is not predicated on the success and the speed to which someone else is able to change their situation, right? Yeah. We're always measuring that. It's like, hey, I started this diet or this exercise, and this person lost 5 pounds in the first week, and I gained 2 pounds, right? And you're just down. It's going to be different for different people, so don't get caught up into that. Your journey is your journey. If I could, from you gentlemen, as we wrap here in the next 2 minutes, could you give us...
Sean, I'll take the first one.
Okay. Give us three things that people can do to help with the making the sacrifices in their lives to gain the outcomes that they're that they may be looking for.
So three things.
Three things that they can use to sacrifice, tactics, strategies, when they're trying to sacrifice so that they can make the gains that they want to make in their lives, make the changes.
Setting clear goals.
Okay.
Being honest about progress on those goals. And... giving yourself the grace to and the leeway to get to that end goal and measure that progress as you go.
So you said set clear goals. Number two is be honest on the progress of the goals.
Yeah. And then just be willing to give yourself grace on that journey and learning the grace.
Yeah, I agree. And clear and realistic goals, yeah.
All right, Rev, what are your three tactics or strategies that you can...
So, and I'll speak from experience, you know, and these are things that he just said, you know, earlier, so, you know, I'm kind of stealing from you. I'm not, but I am, because you already said it.
I probably stole it from someone else, so we're just putting it out in the universe now.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Keep it going.
Plagiarism is the sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, one, be willing to make significant changes in, you know, the way you do things. So, in other words, you know, behavioral patterns, you know, not going to the places you used to go to. I had to stop going out, you know, clubbing because it wasn't productive, you know, seeing all those half-dressed women, you know, jiggling around. Like, stop doing that, right? Second, stop, you know, you have to stop engaging in behavior that will lead you to undesirable outcomes. So I had to learn to keep my mouth shut and stop flirting with all those half-naked jiggling ladies. Like, just don't say nothing. Like, if you don't say nothing, you can't get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you see them and they ain't in the club. They just walking down the street. And it's like, you know what? Still, just keep your mouth closed.
Hey, I'm single, Rev. Where are these jiggling folks at?
Hey, look, they all over the place.
Go ahead, John. Jump in there.
Also, isn't it easier if you're not going to the club?
Yeah, that's what that was my first one. Yeah.
Not going to the club, you're cutting down the chances you're going to have the opportunity to talk. That's a huge win in and of itself.
Yeah. That was my first one. Yeah. And so and then number you good. And then the third thing I would say is have a made up mind on what it is you desire, you know. So if it's to be a non-smoker, you know, and because like part of my stop wanting to smoke was like when I spray cologne on, I want to just smell the cologne and not the smoke, too, you know. And so, you know, like have a made up mind on like this is what I want for me. You know, this is what, you know, I desire. And when you have that made up mind that like, yeah, I'm not gonna be a smoker anymore, like it makes the sacrifices that come along with that a lot better. Cause I enjoy smoking. However, I don't wanna be a smoker. I don't wanna smell like smoke. So it's like, which one do I desire more? I desire to, you know, not smell like smoke more than enjoying the smoke. So, yeah, you know, having that made up mind.
All right. So for my three, number one is the buddy system. It is far easier oftentimes if you have someone that can help to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times they'll say, hey, we're going to go to the gym together. So when I'm not feeling like it, the rep can say, come on, man, you're going. Oh, I don't feel like it. And then once you do it, it's like, man, I'm so glad I got it done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So having that, one, is someone you trust, right? They know what your struggle is. They know what you're going through. And they can help to encourage you to meet the goals that you're setting for yourself. So the buddy system can be very powerful and helpful. The second one is to journal. Keep a record of your progress. You know, there's... we.